John St. Germain, broadcasting once again live from Chateau St. Germain in Knoxville, Tennessee. We have an exciting show tonight. I think it's exciting anyway. It's always exciting to me to be heard by our millions of listeners worldwide. And I assume that the listeners in foreign countries have a translator. They're excitedly translating the words they drop from my lips. Tonight's episode is This Crystal World, and we're going to talk a lot about crystal. We're going to talk a lot about crystal quartz. In fact, the stone of the week is quartz. And we're going to talk tonight about quartz. We're going to talk about crystal skulls. We're going to talk about Nikola Tesla and his attempts to use the Earth itself as a crystal. So why don't you grab your crystal balls, if you have crystal skulls, and come back and join us in, about a minute. And I'm back. This is John St. Germain, Crystal Silence League Hour. Now, those of you who are not familiar with the Crystal Silence League know, I should tell you that we are an online prayer service located at www.crystalsilenceleague.org. And prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League, and we invite everyone to go and post their prayer petition. And, of course, we do print these out, and we put them under our crystal balls, the pastors of Crystal Silence League, of which I'm one, and we pray. We also, three times a day, or two times a day, if some of us are busy, take our crystal balls and project our thoughts and our prayers and our thoughts of goodwill to you and the world at large. The Crystal Silence League, of course, is founded around 1917 by Mr. Claude Conlon, a practitioner of New Thought, and we have a couple of books that you can obtain: Crystal Gazing, Lessons and Instructions in Silent Influence with a Crystal Ball, and Personal Lessons, Codes, and Instructions from members of the Crystal Silence League, both by Claude Alexander Conlon, the founder. And you can get one of these free if you buy any crystal ball or crystal, $7 or more, from Crystal Silence League. Well, I have a stack of prayer petitions. It's my custom to begin the show with by reading aloud some of the prayer petitions from the Crystal Silence League, and I see no reason why we shouldn't just go right ahead and do that. I identify them by prayer number and by initials only. No one is identified personally over the air, unless they want to be, in which case they can just call in, and by golly, we'll identify you. So here we go. Those of you who pray with me, prepare yourself. Those of you who pray with crystal balls, get your crystal balls ready. This is prayer ID number 33829MH, praying for a car. Please pray that she gets reliable transportation to get to and from work. She's had bad credit, and she's trying to get a relative to co-sign. May this come true for you, ma'am. May this come true for you quite soon. Prayer ID number 33828KCL. This is about a relationship for T. Please pray that T always loves me, she prays, and treasures me. May that be true for you, T. May love enter your life and never leave. May you love each other as man and wife should. This is prayer ID number 33827, JS, who thanks St. Expedite. We all thank that St. Expedite. Prayer ID number 33826, SF. Pray that SF has a new job before his birthday this year. Please, all benevolent spirits and the greatest spirit of all, the highest spirit, please hear his prayer and grant him a brand new job before his birthday this year. Prayer ID number 33825, RK. And please pray for her friend who has committed suicide last night. And he was about to make the prayer, but however, he committed suicide. May his soul be at peace. May he be free from suffering. Prayer ID number 33824, OM. Please pray for her son, that he focuses and thinks positive thoughts within himself. Pray for him to be noble, humble, and respectful, considerate and understanding, and mindful of his actions and behaviors. May the Spirit enter him and make him a good man. Prayer ID number 33823, AA. Again, a relationship prayer. Please may obstacles be removed that keeps A and AA from communicating. May they be soon joined together as one. Prayer ID number 33822, KR. This is a court case and financial healing. May the good Lord deliver you, stand up for you and rescue you and restore you. End the case soon and let all rulings favor you and follow you 100% in success. This is prayer ID number 33820, MF. Please grant grace for you and your beloved wife that your marriage be healed. And that all your hearts, both of your hearts, be healed, and that what is lost be found, the love between you grow strong. Prayer ID number 33819, SG. Let all of her spell work on her and her relationship, so that the relationship is positive and that they grow closer. Prayer ID number 33818, NQ. Please remove the woman that's causing trouble in the relationship. May their relationship be healed. Prayer ID number 33817, JR. May the truth be revealed about the man who's causing the mental torture of the family. May their mouths be sealed, and may no evil escape their lips. Prayer ID number 33816, HS. Please pray that the relationship be saved and the lovers reunited. Prayer ID number 33815, NP. Sexual problems, please restore this man's potency. Prayer ID number 33814, JK. Please bring the 1% rich to justice. Amen. Prayer ID number 33813, KH. Please bring P, her mind, body, and soul, to be protected from false religions and give her the revelation of the truth. May the truth set her free. Prayer ID number 33812, NM. Please pray that when R and she are apart, that she misses her, and take joy in the memory that she feels she should be by her side. Prayer ID number 33811, JV. Please pray for the immediate, peaceful, supportive resolution of a work situation. May it soon be at peace. And finally, prayer ID number 33808, TS, who gives thanks for the prayer warriors who have brought peace in helping her with her life and answering the prayers, that the healing has been completed. May it be so. Amen. Thank those of you who have joined me. I could feel the power of the Crystal Silence League joining across the planet, helping these good people achieve peace and the answer to their prayers. As I said earlier, I'm very excited about tonight's show. We're going to look at the magnificent crystal, quartz. Quartz is the archetypal crystal. I think all crystals are compared to quartz. And I remember back in the 80s during the New Age movement, quartz was it. You didn't have a medicine bag unless you had a piece of quartz in it. And quartz got very expensive at one point. And I remember being at a psychic fair, and there was this one lady, and she had, it had to be a 50-pound quartz under her table. It was about 18 inches across and a foot and a half high and had points in every direction. And people used to come to her table just to sit there. And I don't know how good a psychic reader she was, but people would come there and bask in the radiant glow of that magnificent crystal. And she must have had a wheelie cart to bring it in and out, because that thing must have weighed 50 or 60 pounds. And quartz is a very interesting crystal. The crystals take a triangular form. And we should talk, I think, about the nature of crystals in general. What is a crystal? What separates a crystal from, say, a chocolate bar? I'm going to tell you that crystals are formed in a tessellated pattern, and tessellations are a subject all on their own. A tessellation is basically a repeated pattern. And you see, if you want to see an example of a tessellation in nature, you look at a honeycomb. That's a hexagonal. Is it hexagonal? Yeah, it's a hexagonal pattern repeated and joined together. They have to be joined. And, you know, quilts are another tessellated pattern that occurs in nature. But a tessellation is a repeated pattern. And it's usually a flat surface with geometric shapes. But in nature, you often see them in three dimensions, like a honeycomb or a crystal. Now, I want to tell you there's a branch of geometry called stochastic geometry, a great deal of which is the mathematics of crystals. And I'm going to tell you that if you know the conditions under which a crystal is formed, you can calculate mathematically how that crystal will grow. And all crystals grow around a nucleus, a center point. They grow outward from the nucleus along rays of force. If you can imagine a little dot with spikes coming out of it in every direction, along those lines of force, that's how the crystals grow. Some crystals grow in boxes. Some grow in triangles, like quartz. Some grow in spheres. And you can calculate that. Now, the size of the crystal is determined by how fast it grows. If it grows very fast, they're going to be small. This is because a crystal grows until it hits another crystal, and then it stops. So you can imagine all these little boxes expanding, and as soon as they touch each other, they stop. So if it grows very slowly, they're going to be large boxes. If they grow very fast, they're going to be small boxes. Now, they tend to slow down as the crystal gets bigger on the outside of the ray, the further they are from the nucleus, and they tend to be fast on the inside. That's why they grow. Now, there are mathematics that govern this, and I'm not going to go into that very much, but if you understand the conditions under which the crystal is growing, the heat, pressure, and a myriad of other factors, you can predict precisely how the crystal will grow. And if you want to see an example of this, look at a cubit zirconian or any other laboratory-created crystal. So you can grow any crystal. You can write a formula using stochastic geometry and grow any crystal that you care to grow, in theory. And there are crystals that have been tailor-made for certain purposes, for physics, you know, for splitting photons and things precisely, and splitting particles. There are crystals that have been grown specifically for that, perfectly aligned molecules. So it is, crystals are very fascinating when you consider the Earth has created a bewildering and uncountable array of different crystals. They've handed us tools. The Earth has also handed us other tools that we'll talk about later when we talk about Tesla. So we have quartz. We have quartz, this amazing thing that has all sorts of different varieties and shapes and colors and things. Quartz is sometimes clear quartz. The quartz is perfectly clear. It's sometimes called rock crystal. And if you can imagine, back in the ancient days, rock crystal or clear quartz must have been amazing, because it's warm ice. They'd find these pieces that looked like ice, and it was warm. It wouldn't melt in your hand. So these obviously were magic rocks. And we have a question. How do you know if you have a quartz clear crystal, or if it's something else like clear glass? Well, that's a good question. It would be the shape. It would be the tessellated patterns. Quartz has a very distinctive pattern. It grows in triangular points. And, of course, now if they're shaped into a ball, a spherical ball, it may be very difficult to tell. But if you tapped it with a hammer and watched the crack pattern, that would be, it'd be easy to see. Glass, in my experience, you can tell the difference. You can look at glass, you can look at quartz, and easily tell the difference by the you can usually tell the difference in the way they look. Clear quartz to me looks very different than clear glass. It's, you can look at it and tell it. Also the weight. Glass, I think, is heavier than quartz. Quartz is made from silicon oxide, and glass is also a silicate. So they're very similar. Quartz and glass are chemically, I think, very similar. Don't hold me to that. I don't have the information before me, but I believe they're both silicates. They're both, the root is silicon. So don't hold me to that, but I believe so. So chemically, they're very similar. But anyway, I'm not an expert on that. But that is a good question. We should research that. But rock crystal or quartz, it grows in points, and those points are very handy because you can use them as points. The crystalline axis usually goes along those points, so it acts as a focusing device. In fact, quartz was often used to start fires. You can focus the rays of the sun and start fires with them for ceremonial purposes. Now, some of the healing properties of quartz are that it can alleviate pain, reduce fever. It has an invigorating effect, an energetic effect. I know it's been used to treat back pain. It helps the discs, stomach, bowels, heart. It removes mental blocks and promotes a sense of justice. Crystal spheres have a calming effect. And I know it's been used among certain schools of Buddhism to help in meditation. And crystal skull meditation is wonderful. Quartz meditation of any kind is wonderful. We'll talk about that a bit. And you'll find that it aids a lot in psychism and clairvoyance. This is probably one of the major mystical uses of a quartz crystal. The clear crystal is using it to promote psychism, clairvoyance, and psychic powers. If you put a piece of crystal quartz under your pillow at night, it's supposed to promote clairvoyant dreams and psychic dreams. If you carry it around with you, it helps you with developing your intuition and your psychic powers. And if you use it for crystal gazing. In fact, the many of the ancient scrying balls were made of a natural crystal. The scrying stones of Italy were made from beryl, by the way, not quartz crystal, but crystal was used in magical operations, and they were used as a contemplation, not scrying, but it awakened the psychic mind. Now, crystal spheres are placed beneath the pillow to create rapport with the spirits. You strengthen the psychic connection by exposing the crystal to the light of the full moon to strengthen its powers. You can use it as a pendulum with a point downward, and it helps you link to your intuitive mind. There's many different systems of using a pendulum, and there's a way to discharge or clean the sphere, and that's to pass it through incense, copal, frankincense. Now sometimes you dip it in an alcohol. You can dip it in rum or whiskey to cleanse it and awaken its power. It likes to take a drink before it works, like my grandfather. You can hold it in front of a candle and gaze through the quartz crystal for divinatory purposes. You carry it and you wear it to increase your psychic abilities. You get these dreams when you put it under your pillow You can inscribe them with mystical symbols for divination, like runes. Now there are things called crystal tonics, where you put crystals in water and set them in the sun, and then you drink the water. You don't do this with some crystals. Some rocks dissolve in the water and can poison you, but the hard crystals, such as quartz, you can do this. Any quartz, you can do this. And if you do this with quartz, it invigorates you, it helps your psychic abilities, and you can you drink it each morning as a tonic, and it's supposed to strengthen you and give you help your immune system and strengthen your bones. Now, I don't know if this is true. I've never done crystal tonics. I've done it. It's supposed to align the energy of the water, the crystal radiation, the same thing that heals you, is supposed to imbue this into the water. And it can do that with the water, kind of like homeopathy. It changes the nature of the water so that it will do that. In magical purposes, also, crystal can be used for what's known as gridding. And when you make a grid, you might draw a magical symbol, such as a pentagram, and you put the crystal points at every intersection. And then you activate them, and with your wand, you touch them with your wand, or you might touch them with your hand, and activate the grid, and then the grid is used for spell casting or other purposes. There's more than one type of quartz. You know, there's the clear quartz, or rock crystal. There's blue quartz, and this is for peace, tranquility, to help you sleep. Green quartz is used, as we know in the past, in prosperity work. Increases your cash flow. There's a double-ended quartz. It's got two points, and you use those in places where you'd use a diamond in magic. You tip your wand with it instead of a diamond. Rose quartz, a beautiful little stone. Rose quartz are just beautiful quartz. They're fine. They're very fine for love work, to open your heart. If you have blocked heart chakras, this will help open it up. You attract love with it. You use it in love spells. The rutilated quartz is a stone. It's quartz that has flaws in it, you know, little lines and cracks in it. Those are very good for scrying, too. It helps increase your vitality, and it's very good if you're using... If you're using magic spells, when you're performing magic spells, you use this to increase the oomph of your spell casting. And then there's smoky quartz. And smoky quartz is used as a mood elevator. It helps you be more grounded. It helps, it basically absorbs your depression, your negative energy, your negative thoughts. And then, of course, you have to, anytime you use these stones for any sort of purpose to remove negative influences, you have to discharge them. And you can discharge quartz in a number of ways. Running water, you put it in a bowl of hematite, and the hematite will charge it. And you can put it in a bowl of salt. You can put it out in the sun to help discharge it. By discharging, I mean cleaning, and what some people call cleansing. I don't like the word cleansing. I grew up in this business before the word cleansing came into peace. It's, you know, you discharge or you clean a crystal. And I'm going to tell you that quartz used to be very expensive. It's more expensive than it was now. When it was very popular in the 80s and early 90s, quartz cost a lot of money, and you used to be able to just go out and find them, and you know, you could buy them in little shops as a novelty, and they were a dollar, you know, for a pretty good size one, and then all of a sudden they went up to $25 for something you used to pay a dollar for, and then $50. Now, we can move on to crystal skulls, and crystal skulls are very interesting. I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of legend and folklore about crystal skulls, and very little of it has any backing. about the middle of the 19th century, Europe had this interest in Neolithic artifacts, and in museums and stores and stuff, crystal skulls began to appear. And they were called, they were claimed to be pre-Columbian, Mesoamerican artifacts by the people who claimed to find them. And now, there were all kinds of wild stories about them, where people went into deserts and jungles and stuff and found these crystal skulls, and they were imbued with all sorts of magic powers. And they told about legends of Mesoamericans and how these skulls were used in spells and had all these. But when people looked into it, it turned out these skulls just weren't that old. And you also, when people started looking into Mesoamerican and Native American legends, there were no legends of crystal skulls. So it turned out that there was a thriving trade in fake pre-Columbian artifacts in the 19th century, and to the point where government endowed archaeologists were sent to study this. And there's several articles you can find about spurious Mexican antiquities and pre-Columbian antiquities. It was quite a booming trade, and it turns out that there was just a couple of people who were mostly responsible for this in Europe, who bought large quantities of crystal skulls, masks, mummies, and all sorts of stuff, and sold them to people as genuine antiquities. And a lot of these wound up in museums and were attributed to pre-Columbian Mesoamerican tribes, and usually attributed to Aztec, Mayan, and Toltec, and other civilizations. Now, the thing, what makes it so convincing, is a lot of these tribes do have skulls in their artwork. They have paintings of skulls, carved skulls, and all sorts of skulls, but no crystal skulls. And, you know, in some of these documentaries that you see on the so-called Learning Channel, these people say, and it was remarkable that with the tools at hand, they could carve something as hard as rock crystal. Well, they were put under a series of tests. I want to tell you, let's examine one case, a very famous case is the, and there's been a whole lot of, I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of documentaries and books written about the Mitchell Hedges skull. Anne Mitchell Hedges was the adopted daughter of this British adventurer, kind of an Indiana Jones guy, F.A. Mitchell Hedges. They claimed that she found a skull buried under a collapsed altar inside a temple in Louboutin in the British Honduras, which is Belize. Now, apparently, her father made no mention of this discovery in any of his writings, and nobody who was there recorded it. Now, but Anna, and they didn't mention Anna being there either, so there you go. Now, apparently, the research showed that the skull was purchased at an auction by the elder Mitchell himself in 1943. And then in the letter to his brother, he mentioned it too. But the skull itself is remarkable. It's made from a single block of clear quartz about the size of a small human skull. And the lower jaw is detached. So it's two pieces, but it's made from one piece of quartz. And it's very difficult to find any trace that it was worked with tools, but I won't go through the entire history of it, but many laboratories looked at it, including Hewitt Packard's crystal lab, and they found traces of modern metal tools being used to do it. So it really was not a product of antiquity, despite all the various documentaries and books, and even those experts on the paranormal, the producers of the Discovery Channel. So crystal skulls don't really play that big a role in our ancient ancestral magic rituals. So did they have? So did they really have magic powers? Well, you know, yes or no. They are crystal, and they are skulls. And crystal skull meditation is an intense thing. If you want to really get inside your own head or the head of other people, crystal skull meditation is the way to go. And again, you can grid them for magic powers according to your intention. And crystal skull meditation will really help you with intent. If you're doing a meditation and you want to have powerful intention, the crystal skull is the way to go. You focus your intention inside the skull and project it out. Oh my goodness, you're on fire. And you sit, you light a candle, you hold the skull in your hand, and you focus, you look the skull in the eye with the candle behind it, and you focus your will into that skull. And, you know, you look into the skull, and the skull looks into you, and my goodness, it is a powerful meditation. You can grid them. You can make a circle of crystal skulls around a spell that you're working on, and you can use different skulls for different conditions. The rose quartz skull, jasper skull, malachite skulls, and use them for different conditions depending upon your intent. So, yes, they do have healing powers. Yes, they can be used for magical purposes, but not because they're from Mesopotamia. I'll tell you a brief story. I was in Sedona in the 90s. This is a town that's nothing but psychic stuff, and I'm going to tell you that I got three of the worst psychic readings I ever got in my life there. And I went into a store, and there were these crystal skulls that were selling for $500 each, and they were about maybe 2 inches across. And they had certificates of authenticity that these skulls were from Mu. Now, if you don't know about Mu, Mu is like Atlantis. These are mythical lost cities of advanced technology that existed long before modern civilization and were swallowed up in disasters. You know, Atlantis sunk, and Mu was a sister city of Atlantis. And you know these are in these are mythological cities. They never existed. Atlantis and Mu, they never existed. But these skulls were guaranteed authentic crystal skulls with magical powers from Mu. You got this letter of authenticity. It was on parchment, very, very beautifully produced. It was like you got it from the United States Treasury or something, from the U.S. Mint. And so I asked the woman, I said, "These are from Mu?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "The ancient city that was connected to Atlantis." She goes, "Ah, you're a student of these things." I said, "Yeah, no, I know something about Mu." I said, "Now, how did you ascertain that they were Mu, since there's no survivors of Mu? Mu was destroyed millennia ago, uncounted ages ago." And she said, "Oh, well, they are. You know, we have our ways of telling." I said, How? Can you guarantee personally that these skulls are from Mu?" And her entire attitude changed. She was all soft and new agey. Her eyes got really hard and her lips compressed. And she said, "Let me know if I can help you with anything." And so, you know, this was a scam. It was the crystal skull scam, and it was kind of a sad thing because I really would have liked to have had a skull from Mu, but I wanted some guarantee, you know, I wanted some kind of assurance that this wasn't a $5 crystal skull being sold for $500. You know, I'm a practical man. So there we have the story of the crystal skulls, and I do love them. They're very good for magical purposes and very good for focusing your intent, but not because they're relics from another dimension. Not at all. Let's take just a moment to catch our breath. I'm going to take a drink of water, and we're going to talk about Tesla. Back. Blog Talk Radio has a long pause tonight, long hang time tonight. I activate music and there's 3 seconds the pause between everything I'm doing, so I apologize for the long head time. Well, let's talk about Nikola Tesla. Of course, Nikola Tesla was a Serbian-American inventor, engineer, genius, and a visionary of untold talent. Now, he died in 1943. He was around 90 years old, I think he was 85, 86 years old. He's best known for the invention of alternating current induction motors. He invented alternating current, which made Thomas Edison extremely angry. Tesla started out working for Thomas Edison, realized he was working for an insane man, and quit, went off on his own. And Edison was his lifelong enemy and tried to destroy him. Edison, I'm just going to give you a brief rundown on Edison, was not an inventor as much as a tinkerer. Someone once said of Edison, if he had to find a needle in a haystack, rather than figuring out the difference between a needle and a stalk of hay, he would carefully examine every stalk of hay with intense scrutiny and say, nope, that's not a needle. Nope, that's not a needle. Nope, that's not a needle. Whereas, you know, Tesla would invent it, would determine the difference between a needle and a stalk of hay and invent some device that would suck the needle out of the haystack. You know, he invented the light bulb by just trying every kind of element, element he could find until he found one that didn't burn up, rather than researching elements. This is what he did. Any competition he destroyed. You know, he's credited with inventing the motion picture camera, but he didn't. It was actually two Frenchmen. I don't remember their names, and he took it and improved it. Started the Edison Film Company and destroyed all the competition, including an amazing man, Georges Méliès. You might remember from the movie Hugo. He was an amazing man. He made movies that had special effects. You can find these online. You may have seen some of them. Edison ruined him because he was the only competition Edison had in France. And he ruined him. He just utterly ruined him. And because of this, hundreds of wonderful movies were utterly destroyed and lost to history. Now, many of them were found. Emilia's lived in poverty for decades until he was rediscovered and by some fans of his work and honored and given some money and a place to live. So at the end of his life, he was honored, and his work now is considered amazing. He did green screen work, you know, chroma key work and stuff at the very beginning of filmmaking, and his stuff is just amazing. So here we have Tesla, this amazing genius who came up with AC current, which was licensed by Westinghouse, who hired him to come up with ways to inventions that would make money. Tesla worked on radio, which was part of his work on wireless transmission of energy, and that's what we're going to talk about the crystal use of Earth. He proposed this to Westinghouse. Westinghouse said, so your idea is that we're going to take energy and just throw it out there, and then people would, without wires or anything, and then people would what? Tesla said, well, they'd have a simple antenna, and they would receive it on the air. And Westinghouse at that point said, how do we charge people for this? And killed the research. Well, Tesla eventually got other backers to build what was called the Wardenclyffe Tower project, which was broadcast wireless energy, and it worked. He was powering a small town with wireless energy. And one of the way the Wardenclyffe Tower worked was Tesla discovered that the Earth was an electrical generator, and the space around it was the opposite pole of the electrical generator. So you had the two poles of an electrical generator, like a battery, the Earth and the space around it. And so he had this idea, and the idea was that he'd build a tower and send the electrical energy through the earth, and it would be amplified as what's called a standing wave, and then projected outward without wires. And he had two theories, which were: one, by using two grounded resonance transformer transmitter receivers positioned at distant points on the Earth's surface, it's possible to induce Tesla towers. It's possible to induce a flow of electrical current between them. And two, by incorporating, and this is what's important, by incorporating a portion of the Earth as part of a powerful dual elevated terminal resonance transformer transmitter, Tesla tower, an electrical disturbance can be impressed upon the Earth itself and detected at a great distance or even all over the surface of the globe. The assumption being made that the Earth is a charged body floating in space, floating in an oppositely charged medium beyond the atmosphere. He had to determine two things: what's the electrical capacity of the Earth, what charge does it contain if electrified, and what is the equal and opposite capacity of the space around it. Now, I usually get really emotional when I talk about this, because had he been allowed to complete this research, we would be living in a paradise today, because there would be free and unlimited energy. Now, was this practical? Well, yes, because he built two working models. He demonstrated it before two scientific groups. He powered lamps and other electrical devices at a distance without wires. He proved it worked. Then he built a large tower, the Wardenclyffe Tower, and powered several buildings with it. It worked. But it was expensive. He also produced wireless telephony. He was sending messages, and he said that you could have a device no bigger than a wristwatch that you could talk on and send pictures on. This was before radio. Well, Marconi used 17 of Tesla's patents and developed the radio, and all of Tesla's investors said, hey, that's a lot cheaper than what Tesla's working on, and they pulled all of the money, J.P. Morgan was the main investor, and put it in radio, and because market pressure, they could make more money doing that. Because remember, you're broadcasting energy, and anybody could tap into it. They could not figure out a way to market it, to make money on it. They put millions of dollars into Tesla's project, and everybody was thinking, how can you market this? How can you charge people for it? And my response to Westinghouse would have been, like you charge everybody else now, you tax them. It's part of the tax. So this was called the World Wireless Project. He wanted to build a second tower in London. There was one in Colorado Springs. He wanted to build a second tower in London, send a pulse through the earth to be picked up in London. I want you to think about that for a minute. And I want you to think about this. This was in 1905. And according to his theory, the Earth itself behaves as an electrical crystal resonator when it's excited at certain frequencies. The operating frequencies he detected were from 1,000 hertz to 100 kilohertz. And he found the frequency range of 30 kilohertz was found to be most economical. He was talking about exciting the entire surface of the Earth to produce an electrical charge. When you consider that an electrical power plant is usually, to power a city is usually maybe a square footage of a mile to power an entire city. He's talking about turning the entire surface of the Earth into a power plant, and he could do it. He demonstrated it. Now, NASA also proved this. They sent a copper wire from the Earth, they attached it to the space shuttle, and when it got above a certain level, it began to generate power, a great deal of electricity. However, and this just cracks me up, the engineers who designed this didn't take into account the weight of the wire, and the wire snapped once it got to a certain height under its own weight. But before it snapped, it was generating completely on its own a great deal of electrical current, simply because of the distance of the difference in resistance and the difference in potential between the Earth and the space around it, free energy. Now, there have been numerous patents, uncountable patents, applied for and granted a technology using this principle. So why don't we have it? Why don't we have Tesla towers? How come your car doesn't have an antenna on it instead of gas? People are saying, oh my God, gas prices are so low. Why don't you have no gas prices? Why don't you have an antenna on your car that just takes energy from the earth? A tower in every city, maybe three or four towers like cell phone towers. Why don't we have that? Market pressure, money. That's why I get emotional when I talk about this. So Tesla was basically destroyed. They pulled his funding. They dismantled his work. Thomas Edison, of course, sent his gangsters to his lab to destroy it periodically. This is true. Thomas Edison hired gangsters to go destroy Tesla every time he'd get something. They show up at Colorado Springs and destroy his labs. Other things happened. And let's talk. We talk briefly. Tesla designed a death ray. Using this technology too, where he said you could shoot an airplane out of the sky using electrically charged particles, and he was trying to sell it to various governments, and his apartment was ransacked, and they tried to find the plans for it, but he said the plans are in my head, and so apparently though the sketches and plans that he made for this death ray are under lock and key at the Tesla Institute, and no one has ever actually seen them. So they took this very, very seriously. That's Nikola Tesla and his idea of turning the Earth itself into a resonating electrical circuit. He did it. He demonstrated it. He showed it was possible. And the technology is there, but we just don't use it because the people who can do it control the patents. This is not paranoid delusions. Look it up. Research it. This is not paranoid delusions. The people who control the technology and who have the money to do it, buy up the patents, control them, and sell you fossil fuels and coal and gas. And get a cold shudder up your spine as I say it, nuclear energy, the dirtiest fuel ever created. Going on now, the Earth itself is a crystal. Tesla thought that if he had an energy surge big enough, he could send it through the planet, and he could crack it open. He said the Earth was a huge resonating crystal that had tessellations, and he could if he had a big enough hammer, you could tap it just right, and it would just shatter. And he said if I had a large enough electrical charge, I could pulse it through the Earth, and boom. It would just shatter apart like a crystal. And there is an incident in the Siberian forest where there was a huge explosion. And now we're getting into speculation. A huge explosion, like an atomic bomb, hit this forest in Siberia. There has been many, many speculations about what it was, a meteorite, an antimatter particle, a UFO crash. It occurred around the same time Tesla was doing his experiments at Colorado Springs. With the Wycliffe Towers, when he was sending pulses of energy through the Earth. And I'm not the first person to point that out, so I'd just like you to think about that. An explosion that was like a 10 megaton nuclear bomb, and this was before the atomic bomb, blew this forest up. I'd just like you to think about that. He said, if I had a strong enough electrical current, I could crack the Earth apart like a big crystal. That's something to think about. And who's sitting on this technology? And Tesla's death ray. Oh my. The power of crystal, ladies and gentlemen. The power is a crystal. They can heal and they can hurt. So the mighty quartz crystal. We're getting down to about 9 minutes. If anybody would like to make a phone call, all you have to do is dial 657-383-0525 and push 1, and I will be glad. Oh, we got a caller, and I'll be glad to hear from you. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Caller,
hello?
Yes, you're on the air. That's you.
Hi. This is first-time caller.
Well, hi. What's your name?
My name is Erica. I'm in Ohio, and you have a very interesting radio show in regards to the crystals and the Tesla information. Very informative.
Well, thank you. Do you have a question or anything you'd like to know? Because I know everything. I really do. I know everything.
Good. It's just a question, or is this in a form of a reading, informational, or?
We're about to get to the meditation, so if it's a question you'd like a quick answer on, it's got to be quick.
Okay, I'm just looking forward as to what's coming up for me in 2015. I'm dealing with a head injury, so I'm kind of curious as if there's anything there that crystals can do, or any form of a stone,
Yes. There's actually quite a bit you can use. You can do for head injuries. Quartz, of course, is very good. Was the skull itself injured? Was your skull injured?
No. Basically, I have some nerve damage. It was a concussion. I'm recovering, but because of the pain that it left in my head, it takes time for that nerve to heal.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Why don't you try some of the blue stones, lapis lazuli, sugalite.
Okay.
And you can freeze these, and you can put them on your head where the pain is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you freeze them. Get flat rocks. Get them in flat form and freeze them. You can also use smoky quartz and hematite and turquoise.
Okay.
Blue sapphire. But the go-to remedies for healing things like headache, migraine, and head injuries are lapis lazuli and sugalite. And get them in flat rocks, and you can not even find them sort of concave where they'll fit over it, and you freeze them, and you put them on your head, and then you project and into the stone, and, your healing energies. And smoky quartz is supposed to be really good for that. You hold those in your hand, though, and you concentrate, and hematite is supposed to strengthen the area of the head. Turquoise, of course, another blue stone. But but try those and see if those don't help you. Okay?
Okay.
Well, thank you, Erica. Call me. Call me directly if you need any more information.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we're about time to the meditation. So everybody grab your rock crystal, if you have one, and why don't you if you don't? And let us begin. Of course, sit in your chair very comfortably. And I'd like you to just take a deep breath. And let it out. And another deep breath. And let it out. And another one. And this one, just let it out like you're letting go of the day, like setting down a bird. And as I talk to you, as you listen to the sound of my voice, you'll become more and more relaxed as you listen to the sound of my voice, and you'll take all tensions from the top of your head and just push it down your shoulders. Push those tensions down from your shoulders, down and out of your body. Just push them down, down, down. More and more relaxed. And as you do this, I'd like you to visualize the multifaceted crystal in front of you turning slowly. And push that tension out of your body. Push it out and into that crystal as it spins slowly in front of you, dancing to the sound of my voice and to the music. The crystal just spins slowly in front of you. Pretty little crystal spinning. Flecks of light dancing off of it. And it dances in front of you, and the sound of my voice continues, and you relax, listening to the sound of my voice. And as we do, you become more and more relaxed. And your focus may go down to your hand as it rests comfortably. And as you take deep, relaxing breaths, each breath cleanses you and discharges that tension into that crystal. And another breath. And it feels very good to be this relaxed. And then your concentration, your focus may go down to your feet. And you let the tension just flow out of your body and out of your feet and into that crystal. And the crystal takes it all. It absorbs all of those tensions, all those negative and bad and nasty feelings. All doubt. All self-defeating dialogue. All of it. It takes it out. It takes it all. And now imagine white and clean and cooling mint-flavored light coming in the top of your head, filling you up. And as it fills you up, all the dark, colored, negative, nasty, dirty water energy comes out of your abdomen and goes into that crystal. As the crystal spins, the white, clean, beautiful, lemon-scented and mint, all the really nice-smelling light comes in the top of your head. And as you breathe, it comes in. And as you exhale, all the dirty water, the dirty light, comes out of your abdomen and into that crystal, and it takes it all too. It absorbs it all. And you breathe in. And you breathe out. And you notice that the dingy light, the dim light that comes out, becomes lighter and lighter as you cleanse yourself out. You're just cleaning yourself out. All those negative emotions, all that stuff you stored, all that stuff people threw at you. You just let that white light, that nice white light, flush it out. And it goes into that crystal as it spins in front of you. The crystal just spins and light flecks off it. That crystal can absorb it all. It absorbs it all. Now the crystal starts to move away. It moves slowly away. And off it goes. It just goes away. And take a deep breath. And now every time you blow the breath out, that crystal goes away a little further. And it's like blowing a little helium balloon, and the crystal spins off toward a spot on the horizon. With each deep breath you take, you just blow that crystal away. It goes away further and further away. Take another breath, and the crystal goes away, taking away all that negative energy. And now turn the light off and seal it in you. And turn the light off at your abdomen and seal it in you. And take a deep breath. And let it go and just push that away. And now I'd like you to just relax and enjoy and be at peace. And do stay tuned for our next show in the streets of Beverly Smith. And be relaxed, and we're ready to go. And thank you for joining us. I'm John St. Germain. This is Crystal Silent League Hour. Please join us next week with more information, more guidance in the use of crystals and crystal balls, and more patience.